Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Ground ball towards short. Flip to second. Fletcher's turn. Double play ends the game. A very, very frustrating series against the Braves. The Astros drop all three to Atlanta as the Braves win it 6-1 on Monday, 6-2 last night, and today coming from behind down two in the eighth and then scoring a run in the 10th to win it 5-4.
Yeah, this is bad, man. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to all of you. It feels a little disingenuous each and every day after these Astro games coming in and saying, happy whatever day it is, happy Tuesday, happy Thursday, whatever it is, because this team is bad at baseball right now, man.
They're really bad. They're
bad at baseball.
Boy, Jose Abreu. Oh. Man, it's one thing to not produce anything at the plate. It's quite another to be a... Isn't it perfect that Ryan Pressly can't pitch as Jose Abreu can't field?
Yeah, man.
And or nor hit. Like, it was everything right there in the eighth inning when Abreu couldn't field, like, a kind of awkward ball, but couldn't even stop it. And,
brutal.
What a brutal series,
brutal, man. They had finally... Welcome in, everybody, by the way. Good morning. Sean Pendergast.
Yeah, happy Thursday.
Yeah.
Sean's trying to ruin everything for you.
Welcome in. Not my fault,
Here's
man.
Your daily affirmations.
I'm not the one who gave Jose Abreu 3 years, $57 million. It ain't me. It looked like finally, like maybe a bit of a breakthrough yesterday, because the big issue with this series with the Braves, which ended in a sweep, had been the ability to hit with runners in scoring position, as it's been in many, many games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a little shuffle in the lineup by Joe Espada ended up working out. Alex Bregman gets a big hit to give them the lead, and then Kyle Tucker gets a double to tack on an insurance run, and then they hand the ball to Ryan Pressly. Things are working out. Montero comes in and does his thing in the sixth. Brian Abreu comes in and does his thing in the seventh. And then you're going to hand the ball to Ryan Pressly and Josh Hader, just like you drew it up on the chalkboard. And Hader was good. Unfortunately, by the time he got in, Pressly had given up two runs to tie the game at four. And then they lose 5-4 in extra innings yesterday. They're now 1-10 in extra innings over the last two seasons. They were 1-8 in extra innings last year, and they're 0-2 thus far this year in extra innings. This new extra inning rule is not treating – well, it's new. It's like 4 years old now. Not treating the Astros all that well.
If I was going to go one positive, one negative for Espada.
Okay.
Positive was the lineup change. It's the first time he's done anything at the top of the order.
Yeah.
And so far, so good for Bregman.
Yep.
Bregman, who'd been miserable with runners in scoring position. You know, as he's named to that dutiful role of trying to drive those dudes in.
Mm-hmm.
He was just abysmal with runners in scoring position. The rest of the team has been as well, but he did look a lot more like himself now.
Yep.
Splitting the split
small
up Jordan.
Small sample size, but yeah.
Tucker looks still like, I feel like Tucker's been playing angry ever since Jordan got beaned a few games ago, and I'm all for Tucker's made some vicious plays in the field since then, too. A couple sliding catches, so... I don't know why I'm trying. I guess I'm filibustering, trying to stay away from Espada, who I'm still disgusted with over his comments after the game.
Let's get to that. Let's get to that because the Astros are off today, so there's nothing to preview or anything like that. Like this is, we're doing the autopsy on what has been just a horrific, horrific season so far. They're 6-14 on the season. The Astros have never made the playoffs. In a conventional year, in a year where they've been sub 500 through 20 games. Last time they were sub 500 through 20 games, I saw Sean Bajani tweet this, was 1981. They, in a year where they made the playoffs, they were 8-12. That was the split season. That was the strike. So the first half of the season didn't even matter. They won the second half of the season. So this is bad. There's like they're starting to get into territory where there's no precedent for prior Astro teams having a good season. You know what I mean?
Sean, this is it's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo you're spewing, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because, if internet commenters are to be believed, you, me, everybody wasn't even aware that the Astros existed before 2015.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't need these historical... I don't need these made-up facts clouding what I know to be the true Astros, which is 2015 onward.
That's fair
where
enough.
They've overcome some pretty damning odds.
Fair enough. I feel like I'm opening up one of those gigantic fable books and blowing dust off of it. And Cesar Cedeño is a fictional character. He's not an actual... Houston Astro,
Trust me, child. I'm older than you.
Right,
what you're doing, you creep.
Yep.
Yeah, take your white van and get the hell out of my neighborhood.
Okay.
Your stats. Hey, kids, want to see some baseball stats?
All right. So Joe Espada. Joe Espada. Worst creeper ever. Yeah. Where's the ice cream, huh? This guy's offering candy over here. What the hell?
You guys want to play some electronic football?
Yeah, that's right.
Got some in the back.
So Joe Espada, who I have kind of given a pass to so far this year because the pitching staff is decimated with injuries. Guy's in his first 3 weeks on the job. Like it's not like he's coming in with four prior stops in managerial roles elsewhere. But I had my first go bleep this guy moment yesterday after the game in the press conference because we know that Jeff Bagwell, Astro legend. Who Jose Abreu is doing more and more damage to Bagwell's legendary status by the day because we know Bagwell was a big influence on Jose Abreu being on this team. Bagwell's big thing is look at the back of the baseball card as to why Jose Abreu is still in the lineup, is even still on this team. I mean, we're getting into that kind of territory. Man, not you, Joe Espada. This was after the game last night.
Other things you're seeing, maybe not in game or in game with Abreu that gives you confidence that he can pull out of this offensively?
History, the back of his baseball card. He can do it.
Okay, so if you couldn't hear the question, it's basically like, why do you think Jose Abreu can pull out of this thing? And Joe Espada used the Jeff Bagwell answer. And let me just tell you something right now. Like, Joe Espada and Jeff Bagwell and anybody else who wants to use this back of the baseball card thing, stop! I'm being serious. Stop doing it. It's freaking insulting. It's insulting to the intelligence of your fan base. It's insulting to the intelligence of people that follow this team. It's insulting to the intelligence of the other guys on this team that aren't batting .078, quite honestly. And I know they're all being good soldiers and saying how much they like Jose Abreu and he's a good teammate and all this stuff. They're not dumb. He is washed. He's not good. And to your point, Seth, it's happening in the batter's box, and it's happening at first base. He is losing games for you. The back of the baseball card, last I checked, includes 2023, a full season of this garbage that we've seen so far these first 20 games of the season.
There's either that or, because I would include in that, Sean, yeah, it insults your own intelligence whenever you say it, if you're a spot or whomever else, because of that, right? Okay, look at the back of the baseball card. You're talking about his stats over the years. Like, yeah, you were here last year too, Espada.
Right.
You're not new to this. You saw last year. It was a bad enough saying last year, But when you didn't have the 2023 stats in totality, but it's way worse this year. But yeah, I look at, so yeah, hey, don't believe all this analytical mumbo jumbo. Just look at the stats. Like, yeah, that's what we're doing. Like, I have, like, on what world, in what world do we exist where our baseball decision makers are so dumb that they don't even understand the conventional stats? It drives me insane, Sean.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely insane. Like, are we going to ignore his age on the back of the
yeah, that's on the baseball card.
Yeah, his age is on the baseball card. I'll look at that.
Oh, my God.
Sean, did you see? I found it's equivalent. I found the cover of that old Sports Illustrated.
I saw.
It said the power of Jose Abreu.
I retweeted it.
And if I'm going to be using archaic sports mediums.
Yes.
Baseball cards. Well, yeah, Sports Illustrated is the most thriving, successful sports publication in all the land.
Oh, my God.
And it's got Jose Abreu on the cover. So I feel like I don't know what could go wrong with it. We've got a long history of Sports Illustrated covers helping this team out.
It's
predicted the 2017 World Series.
Dude, think about that. There was a book written about this team, about the space age analytics that they used to pull this team out of the muck and make it the gold standard for analytics and how to run a baseball team, independent of maybe a little bit of sign stealing. But they wrote a book about the analytics of this baseball team, and now the people running it are like, look at the baseball card.
Hey, I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm going to tell you another thing, Sean. I'm going to tell you another thing, doofus. As I'm talking to you, the voice you're doing. Listen, doofus.
Why's the Abreu in there? Watch out, you wild. Look here.
You know, honestly, when Bagwell's doing the games, I try to just enjoy it for what it is and not think about the front office stuff or anything. Like, okay, here's an ex-Astros great, and he's just telling me about baseball, teaching me the finer aspects of playing first base. I wish Abreu could listen in but via Bluetooth while he's playing. Hey, Baggy. We're not going to interview Abreu. You're just going to give him tips on the finer aspects of playing first base
while we're doing the game.
But no, the one thing that honestly bothered me this weekend was that Todd Kalas brought up ex-WOBA or ex-WOBACON. It's expected weighted on base average, right? Or expected weighted on base average on contact. Obviously the old shtick is, hey, old school baseball dude isn't going to know that or what have you. But you're part of a front office that claims that the old school guys respect and understand the value of analytics.
Yeah.
I really don't like Bagwell either openly saying or maybe pretending to not even really have a clue what ex-WOBA is. Like, I'm cool if you don't. I'm cool if you got certain disagreements with ways analytics are used, but you've got to at least make an attempt to understand the analytics first.
Best case, he's mocking it. Best
right,
case.
Right, right. Yeah, best case, right.
Best case, he's mocking it and knows what it is. You know,
but to act or maybe actually show that you really don't even have an awareness of what it is. Like, if you don't actually have an awareness of what it is, I don't understand how. It's not like the stats dudes don't try to understand normal actual baseball.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Likewise, the actual baseball dudes, if they're in an organization that supposedly values the analytics, at the very least know what you're talking about when you're trying to discredit them.
I remember that exact instance in that game. God, I wish we had the audio of it, because I could hear 15 seconds in to Kalas talking about it, and he's bringing up ex-WOBA and talking about what it is. I'm like, this is not going to go well with Jeff Bagwell in the booth. And sure enough, it went exactly how you described it. I'm like, yep. This is what it sounds like listening to my sons explain TikTok to my dad. You know, like that's what this is. Like, just all right, I did TikTok. Okay.
But this is the thing. If you look at what made the Astros great, one of those things was, say, Brent Strom.
Yeah.
An old school coach, but who was extremely open to all the new technology and new ways to think about baseball.
Yep.
That's the perfect blend. Luno was that same way. Or Hinch was that same way. Baseball player. Old school baseball guy, but with a very good understanding and appreciation for the analytical side. Now, instead, you're kicking it back to 2002 almost.
Yep.
Where you got the tobacco chewing scout versus the new age dude, and it's just a bunch of stupidity.
Yep.
That's what it feels like. We're back to just clubbing people over the heads, with sticks.
Caveman baseball, man. Yeah. Caveman baseball. All right. Off and running on a Thursday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Mark Schlereth. Three-time Super Bowl winner. We know Mark Schlereth, radio in Denver, former offensive lineman. He's on the Hutopia podcast, drops today. We got some of the audio from that. Who bears the brunt of holding Stephon Diggs accountable? And boy, he's got some good things to say about a Houston Texan that a lot of guys have had good things to say about. He's got a message for Seth Payne, too. We'll get to that coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Sorry, Seth and I were analyzing last night's episode of Survivor. Do we talk about it, Seth, or do we give the people a chance to watch it, or do we say spoiler alert?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know these days when so many people watch things on delay. Yeah. I would say we don't really talk much about it, other than that you and I we're just amazed that we never watched this show before.
And then
it's super interesting. Don't worry, everybody. We're not getting in deep on the episode itself. Just the fact that, it's all artificial. And there's, nobody's got any, solid platform to stand on morally or from trustworthiness or anything. But it is amazing how still somehow you jockey for position, with no physical violence or anything.
Yeah.
There's just people maneuver and people form alliances and then bust them up. And that, somehow, people just keep trusting each other. It's a microcosm of how weird human society is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or junior high. it's what it feels
junior
like.
Junior high, I feel like there's more physical intimidation.
That's true.
If it all comes back to physical intimidation at one point, it's easier to understand. You're like, oh, okay, ultimately. Yeah. At the end of the day, there's some sense that if I go too far, the government's going to come down on me.
That makes it real.
Yeah.
This is not that. They're their own
government. No, not at all. There's no repercussions in this game.
Nope. Mark Schlereth was on, will be, it'll drop today, the Hutopia Football Podcast, my football podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app. That'll drop later this morning, but we got some cuts from
YouTube
it here.
YouTube also, right?
What's
you also
that?
Got YouTube. You're on YouTube.
And
too.
YouTube as well. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. So Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, former offensive lineman, does morning radio in Denver, we played some of his audio from his podcast, The Stinking Truth, a week or two ago, right after the Diggs trade. Literally, he did his podcast moments after Stephon Diggs was traded to the Texans. He was among the voices not in favor of the trade. He's very concerned about the gravitational pull, he calls it, that Diggs could have on some of the players in the locker room, the negative gravitational pull. So I asked him, okay, well, if Stephon Diggs is a personality that's teetering one way or the other, good or bad, who bears the brunt of holding Diggs accountable in that locker room?
I would say first and foremost, it's D'Amico Ryans. And D'Amico's, as you guys know in Houston, D'Amico is one of my favorite people to, well, you don't know this. He's one of my favorite people to meet with, but he is a not a good coach, a great coach, and a great mentor. And ultimately, you have to hold Diggs accountable to a standard. And, you know, players have to do that as well. C.J. Stroud has to do that. Like, it becomes everybody's responsibility to a degree to do that. But ultimately, it lies in the head coach. And if you let him pass by whatever standard you have set, then again, you have set a new standard. And you can't allow that to happen.
Takes a village to raise a Stephon Diggs is what I'm hearing there, Seth.
And you can't, you've got to have certain standards. I think like just like it would be in a primitive society or on Survivor, what you do when somebody doesn't meet the standards, you ostracize them.
Yeah.
Which means that Stephon Diggs doesn't just get released from the team.
He's voted off the island.
Yeah, you send him off to Siberia or something. In a hut in Siberia.
they're going to have a tribal council once a week in the Texas locker room. Yeah,
I think that all of Mark Schlereth's concerns are very understandable. Mm-hmm. I would just say that as much as people are going on Stephon Diggs' personal history and raising red flags, you also got to lean on his personal history in that in Buffalo, it was nothing but rainbows and sunshine. In Buffalo, of all places.
Yes.
For basically 2 years. It really wasn't. There were no chinks in the armor until the end, the playoffs in his third year. Mm-hmm. He was very much part of the growth and development of a young quarterback. They were in lockstep with each other and with management, and it was really, really good. So, yes, I understand red flags based on prior history, but I also understand positive results from prior history, too. And this is only a one-year scenario for the Texans. I mean, it's a whole other question. You know, the fact that the Texans lopped off those 3 years of the deal, that does raise into question just the value of the trade and everything. But if what we're talking about is, oh no, Stephon Diggs is going to be a mess, and that's part of your calculation, you got to factor that in. The one-year deal part is big. It's a very short time horizon for Stephon Diggs to say, okay, I keep my head down, I keep my nose to the grindstone, I just put the best version of myself out there, and you know, hopefully I get another contract next year.
Schlereth's initial reaction to this on his podcast was moments after the trade was made.
Yeah.
The restructuring of the deal happened several days later, and we actually did, we don't have the audio here, but we did talk about that. That was my follow-up. Schlereth loved the fact that they made it into a one-year deal with him. He really did like that move by the Texans, that he turned it, that the Texans, and Diggs, I mean, Diggs had to agree to it too,
right,
that they turned it into kind of a prove-it year for him. D'Amico Autry, for a free agent / offseason class, because I know Mixon and Diggs were technically trades, for a slew of offseason maneuvers that included Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon and now Stephon Diggs, the one guy that seems to be getting as much, if not more, praise than anybody is D'Amico Autry as far as signings go. And some of that may have to do with the value. He's, you know, he's half the price of Danielle Hunter, you know, and has been very productive. Schlereth revealed an analytic that he came up with on his show and said that D'Amico Autry is among the leaders in this particular analytic.
I created my own analytic on my radio show, and I call it my Boo Rating, B-O-O. And that's balls over opponent. It's the only analytic I give a crap about. And that dude's balls are bigger than your balls. I mean, he just absolutely thunder punches people. I mean, he hits people like on, you know, when they do split flow stuff. So they're running like a zone run play to their right. You know, and then the tight end comes across and tries to bust up the defensive end. Like tight ends tiptoe across the formation because they're like, this dude is going to come down and try to shorten my neck. And he destroys people at the point of attack. It like to the point where it's cringeworthy from like, rewind that.
Oh, shorten his neck. I like that. I like that in that context. So I think that is 100% true about D'Amico Autry and what he's talking about there. When you guys all know, like whenever you see a, like on split zone plays, the tight end is lined up like is off the ball on one side and just comes across formation and he tries to kick out the defensive end on the other side. A lot of times those tight ends or guards when they're pulling, it's not that they get a little bit cocky and they start thinking like, oh, I got a big head of steam here. I'm going to take a, it's a rude awakening for those little light ass tight ends when they get blown up by somebody there. I also recommend the defensive ends go ahead and just take those dudes' knees out like until they make it illegal. It's just like the offense, right. Offense didn't do it to you. You do it to them.
That's it.
And then they get indignant about it. Yeah. But, yeah, like D'Amico Autry is that kind. He has the appropriate lust for violence.
Yeah.
And that's what D'Amico wants. He wants a lust for violence that's, but, you know, within reason. You got to be a good soldier. You can't be out there freelancing, you know, crossing enemy lines at night and cutting dudes' hearts out like Tristan in Legends of the Fall.
Yes.
It was the only way. It was too far. It was too much. We don't need any Tristans, okay? Mm-hmm.
The sense I get from Schlereth is...
Does Schlereth have a Legends of the Fall meter?
I don't know.
But which characters he likes to compare to Legends of the Fall.
The boo meter, the balls over opponent. Yeah. I think Schlereth, if he were in baseball, definite back of the baseball card guy.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Right?
No, dude, no. Him and
this
Bagwell.
This guy leads the league in moxie.
Well, no. And chutzpah. You know what's really interesting about that? It'd be fun to have a conversation with Schlereth because his son was a pitcher who I don't think he's playing anymore. He's in the minors forever. He's just kind of just knocking at the door for a long, long time.
Yep.
So Schlereth knows baseball.
Yes.
He just doesn't get to talk about it at all because of the Rockies.
Yeah, exactly. I should have brought that up. The Astros are playing the Rockies in Mexico in the next week or two. So D'Amico Autry. We'll get to more Schlereth later in the show. He had some interesting things to say about the Texans running game, and Justin Simmons we'll get to a little bit later. But he had a message for Seth Payne at the end of the conversation that we had earlier this week. Yeah.
Best of luck with everything, and we'll be talking down the road, I'm sure. I'll tell all your cronies here in Houston, because there's a line of people from 104.3 The Fan in Denver here in Houston, and I keep in touch with all of them. So I'll be sure to send along your regards.
You do that, man. I appreciate you. Take care, and tell Seth, don't make me come down to Houston and open a can of whoop ass on him.
Mm.
Is that one of your advanced stats, Slur? is that your COA?
COA.
Is that your COA stat?
Yep.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you. You know what your ex-COA is? Expected can of whoop-ass? -23. Mm-hmm. That's coming right back at you. You just boomeranged that COA, my friend. My ex-COA on Mark Schlereth is in the top 1 percentile.
Did you ever
play? That's the top quartile of the top quartile of the quartile. Top quartile.
In the upper quartile of winners, top quartile of that upper quartile.
Thank you, Jim.
So the COA stat would be a small C and then large cap WOA, right?
Yeah, yes.
It'd be can of whoop ass. COWA, yeah.
That's right. You played against Schlereth, right?
I did. I think the only time I played against was my rookie year.
Okay.
And I just dislocated my shoulder for the very first time week or two before. And it was like, he got the better of me that day, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
He got the better of me that day.
That's, you don't need to apologize for that. Rookie year with a dislocated shoulder.
He knows the score. that's why he's talking smack by proxy.
Yeah.
You know? Well, did he pass you a note? Am I going to get a little Chinese throwing star shaped note later? Like, hey, Seth, COWA.
That's right. Slipped it into my hand. You go give this to Seth, all right?
No, you know what? I think that I want to talk to Schlereth about he was advising the Saints for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
And because he's got a relationship with Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about what Schlereth's opinions about Trevor Penning were, the first-round pick that's turning into an extreme bust for the Saints.
Yeah.
Because I think that this is what I saw a weird thing happening with offensive linemen with Trevor Penning. You guys will all recall Trevor Penning was the small school offensive tackle who got a reputation for being a badass because he did interviews like a sociopath. Like he would talk about his favorite movies before games were Saw and all this. But he also just... he would beat the crap out of people after the whistle. Like, he would routinely get his butt kicked during the play, but after the whistle, he would, like, drive the guy to the ground. And I would see all these, like, O-line nerds come out of the woodwork talking about, like, how hard-nosed this dude was. And I'm looking at him like, he's getting his ass kicked. Like, how is anybody not noticing that he's actually, like, literally getting destroyed, but because he jumps on the dude afterwards... people are like, oh, this guy's such a badass. And he was a really good athlete. He tested through the charts. But he went to I can't remember where he went. It was a smaller school.
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa. Yeah. He was like beaten up on 220-pound defensive ends.
Yeah.
And then he got his ass kicked at the Senior Bowl, but got in a few fights. At one point, actually took a defensive end and threw him into the quarterback. And people were like, look at how tough this guy is.
Dude.
So anyway, I'm like, all right, well, there's no way an NFL team's going to be dumb enough to draft this guy in the first round. Lo and behold, the Saints were.
Well.
And I don't know. I got to talk to Schlereth about this.
Penning probably strikes me as a guy who might have a high Boo rating. You know,
right, yeah.
Balls over opponent, you know?
I was reading all this stuff from the Senior Bowl about, like, oh my gosh, Trevor Penning is just killing these guys. And then every little bit, I went out and tried to find every little bit of film from the Senior Bowl, and he was just getting destroyed. Absolutely destroyed.
Yep.
It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, with like all these anonymous quotes from offensive line people or offensive line gurus themselves gushing about this dude who is getting destroyed all the time. And this is what happens when you've got a bunch of ex-jocks running everything.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we've ruined it for everybody.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm sorry we've destroyed a lot of your first-round draft picks by us being a bunch of stupid meatheads running everything.
They've also destroyed our baseball team, the former players. Text message 3146. Losing that game yesterday, this is back to the Astros, losing that game yesterday was Abreu's fault. He got hit in the chest by the grounder. His eyes were closed, and he looked like he got shot. It's true. You and I texted each other like, what was he doing?
What even was that?
What is he doing? Because he didn't have to dive left or right. Like, he went to the ground on a ball hit straight to him.
Everybody's kind of, like, trying to, well, it had a top spin on it.
Yeah.
It was a weird bounce.
Nope.
It's
just Abreu. It's just Abreu. Oh, my God. All right.
He's so lost.
So lost. That's a great way to put it, man.
Oh, no, man.
Great way to put it. All right.
Don't worry, everybody. The back of the baseball card says he's doing just fine.
He's fine. Yeah, if you're wondering what we're talking about with the back of the baseball card, stay tuned for headlines. We've got that. Coming up next, we've got the Astros. We've got some play-in games. We have our first NBA player under the new gambling era, banned for life. And these stories about gambling are so stupid with these guys that get suspended for it. This might be the dumbest one yet. We've got that for you in headlines.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Indeed, we are Payne and Pendergast. Here are today's headlines. Astros lose 5-4 to the Atlanta Braves yesterday afternoon in 10 innings. So that's a sweep. That is the third sweep of the Astros in the first 20 games of the season. If the Texas Rangers and Toronto Blue Jays didn't exist, it would be a really dire circumstance right now. They were swept by the Yankees, as we know, swept by the Royals, that hurt, and now swept by the Atlanta Braves, which I would say there's no shame in that. They're a really good baseball team, but the Astros are supposed to be a really good baseball team. What the hell are we doing? After the game yesterday, another game in which Jose Abreu was completely impotent at the plate and then had an error in the field, which paved the way for two runs in the eighth inning, allowed the Braves to tie the game. horrible error. Joe Espada asked after the game, so what gives you confidence that Jose Abreu is going to pull out of this?
Other things you're seeing, maybe not in game or in game with Abreu, that gives you confidence that he can pull out of this offensively?
History. You know, the back of his baseball card. You know, he can do it.
Can he? Can he really, Joe? Can
this
he do
is,
it?
So the back of the baseball card, for those of you that, you know, maybe weren't aware of this, it's been kind of a running joke slash sore spot for a long time since last year when Bagwell was said, you know, look at the back of Abreu's baseball card, which that was then. That was when Abreu, you know, was having the first of like using the first part or midway through his worst season of his professional career. This a year later, it's that much worse to try to point to the back of the baseball card when those conventional stats on the back of the baseball card include last year's stats.
Right.
It just, yeah. I guess,
680 OPS last year.
Yeah, and it also includes his age. So
yeah.
There's nothing about that that people want to hear. As you pointed out earlier, it's kind of insulting as a baseball fan that somehow that's supposed to be the answer you're happy with.
If you're a fan of the Astros, you should be incredibly insulted by Joe Espada, Jeff Bagwell, or anybody else pointing at the back of Jose Abreu's baseball card as a reason he is still in the lineup or even on this team.
Like, we've never seen aging athletes drop off in performance. Like, is this
Bagwell
I wasn't
was
aware
this
one. Was something that happened.
Bagwell was. And now, for Bagwell, to be fair to him, it was because of his shoulder and because of injuries. But, they all become one. You know, unless you walk away from the game at the top of your game. Everybody reaches a stage where the back of the baseball card doesn't matter anymore. Jose Abreu is so far beyond that, it's ridiculous.
And it's not just these errors. I've never seen somebody get so much justifiable hate for things that aren't even technically his errors.
Right.
Because, you know, Pena makes an error with that throw to first the other day, this weekend. And, yeah, it's his error, but, like, Abreu, there's zero faith or hope that Abreu is going to erase that.
Yeah.
Whereas, and previously, you had a guy on La Pena who was actually really good at erasing people's errors.
Yep.
You know, could feel he was a Hoover out there at first base.
Yep.
It's hard to watch, man. It's a double whammy both at the plate and defense. We're actually complaining about the defense of a first baseman. A team, the Astros are a team that routine from 2016 through 2022, they were in the top five in a good way of errors allowed.
Yeah.
And now I haven't checked since this weekend. This weekend, they were down around 16th or 17th or so. I mean, it's a different baseball team than it was during their absolute prime when it comes to the defensive side of things. And it's really frustrating when this is a spring training when Espada was supposedly really trying to hammer in the basics.
Fundamentals.
Hammer in the fundamentals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jose Abreu is literally the worst player in baseball by so many different metrics right now. Like, he is the worst right now, Seth, this version, like the 24 first 20 games version.
Yeah.
He is the worst, like, every day. And I know he's not every day anymore. I know John Singleton plays, you know, once every 3 days or so. But I'm going to call Jose Abreu the starting first baseman for the Astros for purposes of what I'm about to say. He's the worst everyday player I think I might have ever seen. Like, the first 20 games version of him. This is awful. He's batting .078 through 20 games. Like, you know how hard that is for a major league player to do, like, through a 20-game period, to just not stumble into enough hits to bat 150 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
.078.
And so many of his – I mean, they're just non-competitive
at-bats. Non-competitive at-bats,
just looks lost. There's no chance. Like, it's just random chance. It's almost like he might as well be swinging without looking at the baseball.
Yeah.
Like, just – or without watching the windup at all.
Yep.
Just kind of guess when to swing and try to pick up the ball somewhere along the way.
Playing games in the NBA last night in the Eastern Conference, the Philadelphia 76ers – another one of those teams that's kind of like a little like the Lakers in the West. Like, they're in the play-in, but now they're a dangerous 7 seed. Like, the Sixers spent a lot of this season with Joel Embiid injured. Now he's healthy again, and they beat the Miami Heat 105-104 last night. So they will be the 7 seed in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, they beat the Miami Heat. Chicago Bulls beat the Atlanta Hawks. So the Bulls will play the Heat on Friday for the right to be the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, Friday is when we get all the finality on who all the playoff teams are going to be in the NBA. The big story in the NBA yesterday, though, that I wanted to get to, we've got our first lifetime ban in this new age of leagues embracing gambling. In fact, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was really the first commissioner of the major sports to invite gambling into his domain. Jonte Porter, Toronto Raptors, kind of fringe player. He's a G League two-way player. He's been banned from the league after an investigation revealed he disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, meaning he pulled himself out of the game. So all these under bets on his personal prop bets all hit, like the under for points, the under for rebounds, the under for assists. For a guy who is a fringe player, and there were massive amounts of money bet on him because he gave information to bettors, including one bettor, I mean, who placed an $80,000 parlay of Jonte Porter's stats, his prop bets, that would have paid him $1.1 million. How dumb do you need to be to think somebody's not going to notice
it's,
that?
Well, you know what this is? It honestly is... You can take this as a positive, this by Jonte Porter, because as you pointed out before, Sean, you understand these dynamics a lot. When people are in gambling trouble, or when they're in deep to a bookie, or when like some of the bookies themselves or people working, like they're not doing it because they're the most planned out types of dudes.
Right.
Like especially the guys that are incentivized to shave points. It's usually because they're in deep to a bookie or they're in some kind of trouble.
Yep.
Classically, either being blackmailed, extorted, or they're just, you know, they got a lot of debt. Like, this stuff raises red flags at the casinos and at the books. And, like, this is the stuff that used to happen, but it would never see the light of day, and the league might never find out about it because they were being done with illegal bookies or what have you. So, like, I guess that's the benefit of stuff like this is that it does... ideally scare other people away from trying to pull the same stuff.
Well, and
but the league is also better suited in some ways to pick it up. Even though there's more opportunities for people to gamble and do stuff like this, the league's also in pretty good position to see it.
Yeah, well, I think it's a success story in the oversight for it, because they were easily able to pick up on these weird betting trends, like, quickly. Like, this is like, you know, oversight 101. Like, okay, Jonte Porter, who... Like, why are there even prop bets on Jonte Porter to begin with? Like, he's
right. Yeah, it looks like those are low volume bets. So, like, all of a sudden, there's a lot of activity at all on 80, a guy like 000. That. And then it's like conspicuously obvious even after that.
Dude, there hadn't been 80,000 bet on Jonte Porter total combined in his life prior to that bet. So, and Jonte Porter was betting himself on games on an app using somebody else's name. As it turned out, he was betting on Raptor games. So. He's banned for life.
So when Jonte Porter and his cronies or whoever was involved in all of this do this, you know, in their mind, I think they're thinking, well, all right, we're going to do it. They're going to figure it out eventually. But then we'll have our pile of cash and we'll be cool. Like, what people don't realize sometimes, these amateur criminals, is that, like, no, the casino actually, they can kind of be pricks about not paying you.
They didn't pay
like,
this.
They don't. Yeah. They just never paid this.
Yeah.
Like, it raises the red flag. It's not like they're like, oh crap, he got one over on us this time. Here's your money.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah. You know, they're like, there you go.
You got us this time, but not again. Yeah. Not again. You won't be able to do it again. Like, no, they just don't pay you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'll get settled over time. If it ends up being it was all above board, it's cool. We're just not paying you right now.
Yep. So Jonte Porter, that's got to be awkward. You know, Michael Porter Jr., star player for the Denver Nuggets, is his brother. Like, that's got to be a little awkward for Michael Porter Jr., right? Like,
your
brother just got banned from the league. I'm not saying Michael Porter Jr. is betting on games or whatever. I'm just saying, like...
Well, no, but I think immediately it's like it might be one of these situations where he's the brother that's got his craft together and he's kind of constantly always having to pick up the pieces from his other brother.
Maybe.
This is an extreme example of
it. Yeah,
like, this is where sometimes you got to cut people off, you
know? That's right. All right, those are your... those are your headlines for today. Hey, let's circle back over to the Texans. We talked earlier this week about Texan most likely to take home an award. The odds are out now for Defensive Player of the Year this coming season. How big an impression did Will Anderson make in his rookie season? You're about to find out. That's coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.